I love it to begin with a word of silent prayer. When I ask congregations to pray with me, I'm asking you to pray for God to open your heart and mind and spirit. But let me tell you what I do when I'm asking you to do this. I am reciting one of my life verses. And so let me pray for us by speaking out loud to you that verse that I speak silently every week. Let's pray. Gracious God, how will people be saved unless they know your name and call upon it? How can they call on your name unless they believe? How can they believe unless they have heard? How can they believe? How can they hear unless it has been spoken? How can the word be spoken unless someone is sent? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Amen. One of the absolute crucial things at the heart, soul, and center of our Christian faith and worship practice is communion. Eucharist, the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. Well, today we continue in the series that we have been working on in our congregation as we are leading up in Lent to that time of Easter. And this is Amy Jill Levine's Entering the Passion of Jesus. And with this, we talk about the risks that were being taken just in the communion itself. But the way we're going to explore this is by looking at the stories. In the entire Bible, in all those thousands of pages of text, there are only five times, five places that communion is talked about, that the Lord's Supper is shared. One place is the Gospel of Mark. The four Gospels each have a version of this story, but all of them tell it differently. The Gospel of Mark was written somewhere in the mid-60s, and it speaks, no surprise, of the disciples came together during Passover week. They gathered in an upper room, and they shared a meal together. Here is my body, here is my blood, and the story of the meal. Now, being written then, a few years later, 10 to 15 years later, is the Gospel according to Matthew and the Gospel according to Luke. These two writers, each writing separately, each writing without the other one, knowing what the other one was writing, they both had a copy of the Gospel of Mark there in front of them. And so what you find, no surprise, is that the rendition, the version of communion is very much the same. The disciples gathered, the disciples sat at the table, the disciples ate together. But then comes the Gospel according to John. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the synoptic Gospels. Syn basically meaning same, optic meaning seeing. It literally means Matthew, Mark, and Luke are seeing the same, but not John. John comes from a different tradition. His version of the Lord's Supper is radically different. Now, it's helpful to know that the Gospel according to John was probably written about 25 years after Matthew and Luke, and the world had changed dramatically inside of that time. So being written in the 90s, the Gospel according to John says the disciples came together and they sat at the table, but there's no mention of food. Instead, Jesus stands up, takes a towel, wraps himself, and then begins to wash the disciples' feet. Now, mind you, there is no better or worse. There's not a right or a wrong. We never compare the two and say, well, that one's right and that one's wrong. It's very different interpretations of this same event. But now, let me take you to the fifth story. This one absolutely fascinates me. Would you listen now to 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, starting in the 23rd verse, this is the Apostle Paul as he tells the same story.
For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Oh my gosh, do you recognize the words? Of course. Those are the words that we use every single time we gather for communion ourselves. When we are in worship together, you will hear those words. And on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. All right, now let me ask you. There are five different versions of that story. Which one is the newest? John. Which one is the oldest? Paul. Paul. This is fascinating. Let me take you into this. The Apostle Paul, very early in his life, we think it was probably about 2 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, was pulled into this persecution of the early Christians. And with his conversion, became not the most powerful enemy, but rather the most powerful ally of the Christian movement. Paul took three different journeys around the Roman Empire in the Mediterranean Sea. The first time, he traveled up out of Jerusalem, around and wound up on the eastern coast of Greece in the town of Corinth. There, he spent about a year and a half. Now, this would have been in the year, we think, 50. So this would have been within 20 years, but still almost 20 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And he started this church in Corinth. It was not an easy church. It was not large. It would have been a fairly small group of people, especially by today's standards. They were very diverse: old, young, male, female, rich, poor, workers, foremen, supervisors. It was a very, very diverse. And the truth is, they didn't get along all that well. There were real problems. So it was somewhere about the year 53, almost 54. We believe that it was in those winter months of 53 and 54 that Paul wrote this letter back to the church at Corinth, and to say, people, you have got to understand what it means to come together in Christ. Now, here is what is absolutely fascinating to me. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are filled with stories about Jesus. His birth, his death, his teaching, his preaching. They are all filled with his sayings. All of these quotes that we have from Jesus. But when you go back into the Apostle Paul in his writings, there are 13 letters in the New Testament. Seven of those are credibly the ones that come from Paul. In those seven letters, Paul never once quotes Jesus. Paul only once tells a story of Jesus. Now remember, this would have been written in about the year 53. The gospel according to Mark was written when? Oh, about the year 65, somewhere in there. It was at least a decade after Paul began writing. What absolutely fascinates me is that in Paul's writings, there are no stories of Jesus except for this one. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it. He took the cup and blessed it. This story was absolutely crucial. And so Paul wrote this in some of the earliest letters, earliest writings of our New Testament. Then, 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, these Gospels appear. Now, we don't know. Did the Gospel writers have access to Paul's writings? Don't know. We know absolutely that since they weren't written yet, that Paul did not have access to the Gospels. 1 Corinthians, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And then, an entire generation later, John. Paul, disciples at the table. Matthew, Mark, Luke, disciples at the table, eating supper. John. And Jesus wrapped himself in a towel. What? What? Wait. This is the same event, but these are two completely different stories. What was going on? Never once will you hear us say, this one is right and this one is wrong. We simply say, oh, that's interesting. John is really different. Why? I absolutely believe it is because the world in which John lived was different. This was in the 90s. Now, happening simultaneously, there was another John. Some people will say that the John who wrote the book of Revelation and the John who wrote the gospel were the same. I don't think so. The distance was too great, and the circumstances were different, and the language is completely different. I think it was two different authors, both named John. But both of those authors were living, growing, preaching, teaching, spreading the Christian gospel at the same time, both in that period of the 90s. What was going on? Well, it had been in the year 70 that the Romans had invaded Jerusalem, had absolutely destroyed it, and the early Christian movement, it was like water on a grease fire. The early Christians fled, ran everywhere they could inside of the Roman Empire, and Christianity began spreading. The political environment, the geographic environment, the economic environment, all of these changed in the years between when Paul started writing and John started writing. That was about a 40-year gap. When the author of the Gospel of John was writing, things had changed. In Paul, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what we hear is Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. There was this sacrifice. But look at the twist. Look at the twist in John, where he is saying, you need to be like me, willing to be on your knees, washing the feet of others. You need to be like me, a servant. Jesus was giving himself in sacrifice of service. In the sacrifice of service. And I think that this was the huge risk. This was a major, major risk. Just gathering in the upper room on that night was a risk for them because the Roman government knew that they were around and functioning. They knew that this was a subversive sect. They knew that Jesus was a troublemaker. But 40 years later, we look and at the risk that this author of John was now telling his disciples to take. You need to take the risk yourself. You are the ones. It's not about pie in the sky after you die. It's not about salvation after. This was talking about salvation of humanity now in the risk of service. All right. To me, this just hammers it home about what is happening and the need and what is going on across our nation and across our globe. This coronavirus is moving at different rates in different places. Right now, the peak is happening over in New York City in the United States. Their environment is radically different than our environment. Here, we are just entering that phase, and we believe that the peak of this is going to be weeks away. So now, how do we respond? And the answer needs to be in service. And Jesus got down on his knees, wrapped a towel around himself, and started washing the feet. And as he finished, he said, "Do you know what I just did? I'm going to serve you because you need to serve others." This is the pull. This is where we need to go. Now, here's what's been happening around the church office this week. In a way, there are times and places in which our church has just been stranded, and I feel like I'm just twiddling my thumbs. Oh my gosh, now what do we do? It's not because there's nothing to do. It's because we're trying to figure out how to do it. And so we have Tuesdays and Thursdays as we see the church open up and Safeway cards being given out as we're feeding the community. And we're seeing the phone calls coming in and the emails. The email traffic has been just huge as people are trying to say, now what, now what, now what? Here do we go? What can we offer? But the ones that I'm watching for the most are the ones who are contacting us and saying, how can we help? And this is what we are looking for. How can we help? In the face of any disaster, in the face of chaos, always look for the helpers. Who is it? How is it that we are stepping up to help the community in which we live? This is where I want to guide you today. As we talk about the risk, I'm asking you to take a risk. Now, mind you, I'm not asking you to take stupid risks. You need to be smart in how we do this. But how is it that you can take the risk of helping others? How is it that you can imitate Jesus Christ himself down on your knees washing the feet of others, whatever washing the feet means in your life? How is it that you can be involved in the recovery and healing process of this? I've got friends in the church right now who are super isolating. And the reason for that is because they are actually part of the first responders inside of our community, helping to keep the community fed, keeping the food pantry going, all kinds of different services. And the way that they work is by serving others behind the scenes in isolation on telephone and computer, making sure that the community is still running. And then we have those that are frontline first responders down at the hospital, up at Studio 621. We have got those that are out in the community that are moving and working. How is it that you can realize that you are called by God? How did the Gospel of John get to write the story of the Last Supper? He did it by reinterpreting Scripture, by reinterpreting the story of Jesus and the Last Supper, and reinterpreting it into the situation that they were faced with. They were faced with persecution. They were faced with isolation. They were faced with a danger that 40 years before, nobody had ever been in. It was a completely different environment. We are in a completely different environment, an environment that changes day by day. But what doesn't change is Christ's call for us to move past fear, to move past selfishness, to move past self-centeredness, and to move into service. May it be that you this week figure out what it means to be moving and living in service as we together seek healing. May it be. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, I want to give you thanks for the ways that you have given us opportunities to serve. Some of those opportunities that haven't even opened up yet. Some of those opportunities that we have not even begun to figure out yet, but they're coming. So, Lord, open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.